Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, I'm glad you came back for the last installment. Each week, I hope that you found that it gets better and better. And today is the culmination of this letter, as Habakkuk has been giving us his own personal discovery of his journey of faith. We remember that Habakkuk was prophesying following Josiah's revival, experienced that depth of grief as he saw that the people of God no longer walking with the Lord. And as we come to church and we look around and we see spaces where our friends normally sit and they're not there anymore, certainly we grieve when we see them not walking with the Lord. And we can understand some of the agony that Habakkuk faced as he saw his people denying the God who had blessed them over and over and over again. How often do we go through times of blessing and we take it so for granted until all of a sudden things turn around? And I think I have especially appreciated the diligence with which our community has responded to veterans. And remembering our veterans, I was able to participate in the Armed Forces Day service last Saturday in Wairika. I always try to make it to the Living Memorial Gardens for the reading of names and the new names on the wall. My name is on the wall, and my wife and I put my name on the wall, and it's an honor to go out and see other people remembered by having their names on that wall, and to be in a community where there is still a very patriotic attitude in the lives of the people. And so as Habakkuk went through that disappointment, he lashed out at God. He was very upset at the fact that God did not seem to be paying attention. I don't know whether that's ever been your experience or not, but there are certainly times that we need to ask God, how come you're not doing anything? How come you're allowing all these things to happen? And certainly we are living in a time when evil is called good and good is called evil, where the biggest concern that our politicians have is the fact that the greatest terrorists in the United States are Bible-believing Christians. Isn't that disappointing to you? It certainly is to me. And as Habakkuk cried out to God and God gave him an answer, we find that so like Habakkuk, when God gives us an answer that we don't like, we begin to complain. And God says, you know, I'm aware of the problems. I've got it all handled. I'm sending the Babylonians. And as that news hit the ears of Habakkuk, he said, you can't do that. That is too inconsistent of you. And so last week we looked at the fact that God says, in the midst of all the agony and all the turmoil that you're going to experience, there are three things that are going to encourage you. And one of them is God's grace. The just shall live by faith. And God calls us to a walk of faith and a walk of obedience. And he calls us that in spite of what everything else is happening, that we need to know that our God is the sovereign Lord who is in control of everything. And even though it doesn't go the way we want it to, we need to walk by faith. And then he tells us that there will come a day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, even as the waters cover the sea. And we don't see it right now, but certainly we don't see it in America. But I don't know whether you, and in fact I forgot to pray for our missionaries, but in the third world countries, And in Africa, God is moving. There are people whose lives are being transformed, and even in the Muslim world, there are people who are having visions of God who are going that difficult step of trusting Jesus Christ with their lives on the line. And so God is still working, and the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, even as the waters cover the sea. And the third encouragement is the Lord is in His holy temple. God has not abdicated the throne. He's not up in heaven wringing His hands and saying, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Everything is out of control." God is still in control. And so now we come to the third chapter where the prophet has made a complete about face. He was complaining against God. He waited. He says, "I'm going to stand my course. I'm going to wait on the Lord." He got the encouragement, and now we come to the conclusion where he prays and he comes out with the most fantastic statement of faith as he concludes this book. So to honor God's word, I'm going to ask you to stand as I read all of the third chapter of the book of Habakkuk. And this is called Habakkuk's Prayer. "Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. O Lord, renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled. The age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwelling of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, O Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your victorious chariots? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhe. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared, lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on to the heights." And may God be praised and His word exalted. You may be seated. Well, there is encouragement for us as we come to the end of the book of Habakkuk. And there's three things that I believe God wants us to do. When we are surrounded by adversity, when we look and we see calamity everywhere, the first thing He wants us to do is, and it's too obvious, He wants us to level with God in prayer. You know, how often, as we go through difficulty, that we've had to tell ourselves, you know, when all else fails, we can always pray. Has that been your experience? I've tried everything else and nothing is working. I guess I'll pray. And God says, that's the first thing I want you to do. When you are faced with something that you cannot handle, you need to humble yourself before God and pray. And in chapter 1, He was praying, but he wasn't praying very humbly, was he? He was praying with his hands clenched, with boxing gloves on, and he's saying, "Come on, God, do something." When God finally told him what he was going to do, he came to a place where he realized that if God is going to be God, and if this is what we deserve, then I'm going to allow God to work in my life. And he begins with this amazing prayer. "Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. O Lord, renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. And in wrath, remember mercy." He's come to a place where he has realized that he is not in charge. You know, that's a difficult thing for all of us to learn. We still are that little two-year-old kid who wants to have it our way, don't we? It's mine. I want it now. And even though we may have walked with the Lord for a long time, we still fall back into that little kid who sometimes thinks we know better than God. And so he says, "I have heard of your fame." Yeah, he heard of God's fame. He experienced it during that revival under Josiah. He saw the nation coming to worship once again. They celebrated the Passover that had not been celebrated for years as they remembered the deliverance of the Lord. And in all of that goodness, sometimes we grow callous. And he says, "I stand in awe of your deeds." One of the things that is amazing is when God brings this nation and our world to a place where we acknowledge him, every mouth will be shut. We will have nothing to say. We will be standing in his presence, or maybe we won't be standing. Maybe we'll be falling flat on our faces in the glorious presence of God. And he says, "I stand in awe of your deeds." And then he gives three prayer requests. "O Lord, renew them in our day." In chapter 1, he was saying, "God, you're not doing anything." And now he's come to a place where he says, "God, you've been working, and you continue to work. Renew your work in our day. And then, in our time, make them known." Not only do something, but help us to see what you're doing. Help us to not think that you're inactive, but in fact, let us see what you are doing. I have talked about it before. In the book of Hebrews, it says, "The pure in heart will see God." When God has touched our hearts, we see evidence of his fingerprints on everything that happens around us. Paul tells us in Romans 8, "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose." And the purpose is that Jesus Christ would be the firstborn among many brothers. That we would be like Jesus. And so when God is going to be working, we need to humbly stand and praise him and say, "Father, I want you to be seen. I want you to renew your work. But in your wrath, remember mercy." You know, sometimes people don't like to read the Old Testament because they say, "God is a mean God in the Old Testament." And a lot of times we see God judging sin, and we see God calling his people out, and we see him punishing the Egyptians, and we see him punishing the Chaldeans, and we see him doing all these things in the Old Testament. But the reality is, all through the Old Testament, we see his love. We see his mercy. We see his grace. If we're looking for it. And he's saying, "I want you to make your words and your deeds known. But in your wrath, remember your mercy." You know, the reality is, you and I sit here. If God judged us for our sin, who could stand? But he is forgiving, and he is loving, and he is kind. And he gives us grace day by day. So when we come to the end of all of our complaints against God, and we finally humble ourselves, and we finally kneel in his presence, and we acknowledge all that He has done, it's okay for us to say, God, do something. Renew Your work in our day. Let us see Your power. Let us be aware of the fact that this is what You're doing, and let the world see that this is Your hand that's at work. But remember, God, in all of Your holiness, and all of Your righteousness, and all of Your wrath and Your judgments, please remember mercy. And so we level with God in prayer, and then we look to God in history. From verse 3 through verse 15, we find out that He is reviewing the work of God. He talks about His creative handiwork. He talks about His deliverance. He talks about His judgment. He talks about the flood. He talks about how David had slain Goliath when he was taunting the armies of the living God. And he rehearses all of those things. He doesn't do them in chronological order. This is a prayer, but it's also symbolic. He's singing a song of praise to God. And he's reviewing all the majesty that God has revealed to His people. And sometimes when we get upset about God not working, the best thing we can do is pick up a scrapbook or go down memory lane and begin to think about how God has been faithful. All the things that He has done for us. The things that we never deserved, but He blessed us anyway. You know, the best place to see God is with our 20/20 hindsight. Sometimes we can't see Him in the midst of what we're doing. But when we look back and we see His faithfulness, we see that during those difficult times He was carrying us. Footprints in the sand, it comes to my mind. That poem that talks about this person coming into the presence of God and reviewing his life. And as he goes through his life, he begins to wonder why, when he's going through the most difficult times, there's only one set of footprints. And he questions God. You promised that You'd always be with me. And when I was going through those difficult times, I didn't see two sets of footprints. I only saw one. What is that all about? God says, my child, that's when I was carrying you. And the reality is, when we look back over those difficult times of our lives, it was those difficult times that formed us, that directed us. Sometimes when we get into a very difficult place, God uses that difficulty to redirect us into a whole new area. And when we begin to look back upon the faithfulness of God and the things that He has done for us, we begin to see the hand of God and His directing, His guiding, His supporting, His strengthening us during those difficult times. And so all of these things, when He talked about Mount Sinai, where his glory covered the heavens and His praise filled the earth, the splendor was like the sunrise, rays flashing from His hand when His power was hidden. Talk about the Egyptian plague sent before Him and pestilence following His steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. We think about the invasion into Canaan. The ancient mountain crumbled. The age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Remember the story of Gideon, Joshua, as he went in, and those spies went into the land, and they saw this harlot, and they stayed there, and she told them, "We have been in terror of you since you left." 40 years when they left Egypt and they heard about all the things that God had done in to the Egyptians. The nations in Jericho, the people in Jericho, the inhabitants, were in fear. And you know, sometimes we think, they're getting away with it. They're getting away with it. They don't even worry about those things. You remember, God was involved and He was working. And so He talked about all the things, the flood and when you split the earth with rivers, the mountains saw you and ride. Torrents of water swept by, the deep roared and lifted its waves on high. You know, that catastrophic flood where God judged the earth. But in the midst of that judgment, He saved Noah and his family, his sons and their wives. 8 people were saved. Is God's grace evident? Absolutely, it's evident. The sun and moon stood still in the heavens. The glint of your flying arrows at the lightning of your flashing spear when Joshua had the sun stand still as God allowed him to defeat the enemies. You came out to deliver people. You saved your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear, you pierced his head when the warriors stormed out to scatter us. And that was about David killing Goliath, gloating as about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. When he killed the Egyptian army as they were trying to bring the children of Israel back. All these things. And he says, I heard in my mouth, my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound and crept into my bones. And my legs trembled. When I thought of all the things that God had done, I couldn't even stand in his presence. I was overwhelmed. I was humbled. And the thing that we need to do is we need to gather together. Now, this is Memorial Day weekend. And on Memorial Day, we are to be not just saying, we got a long weekend, we got an extra day off, chance to travel. It's a time to remember. It's time to be thankful for people's sacrifices. It's time to reflect upon the goodness of God and the things that we enjoy each day. And so he went to that. And so he levels with God in prayer. He looks to God in history, and then he leans on God in life. He goes on to say, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the Lord, for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Sometimes we just need to stop. Sometimes we need to rest. Now, that's a hard thing for an activist like me to do. Because when it's quiet, I get nervous. So when things aren't happening, I feel uncomfortable. There was a book that was written in the 60s, and it says, when I relax, I feel guilty. And sometimes we do. But we need to rest in the Lord. We need to stop. We need to just wait for Him. And then we need to rely on the Lord. Though the fig tree... Check out this. This is a statement of faith. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive tree fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Now, I don't know about you, but that talks about security. That talks about where I'm going to get my next meal. It talks about the things that I rely on for my own personal comfort. If the fig tree doesn't bud, there's not going to be any figs. If the grapes are not on the vines, if the olive crop fails, you know, we are in a time right now where there is flooding in the south, there are fires in the southwest, there are all the dangers all around us. We are beginning to wonder if there's going to be enough food on the table as we continue to take more and more land out of farming and we build cities. And how comfortable does that make you feel? It's kind of nice that we live in an area where we can have our own gardens. And we can watch them. We've planted our gardens and we're anticipating we're going to have a good summer. We're going to have fresh fruit and vegetables. We're going to have all these blessings that we have continued to enjoy for many years. But what happens if it doesn't come? Are we going to be distraught? Are we going to be just like everyone else? Or can we say, I know that the Lord is my provider? Can we say with the Apostle Paul, I have learned to be content in whatever state I'm in, whether it's in plenty or in want, for I know that my God will supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Where is my faith? Is my faith in MasterCard? Does MasterCard have the plan for my life? Or does the Master have the plan for my life? Is it security that I want? So to the one who's in charge of everything, to the eternal God, to the one who will never leave you or forsake you, or the one who will not give you more than what you're able to endure, but will with every trial and every temptation provide a way of escape. So he says, I'm going to rejoice. Even though everything looks bleak, I'm going to rejoice. And finally, I'm going to rely on the Lord. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go to the heights. My friend, stability is not going to be in your bank account. Certainly not going to be in Washington. And it's not going to be in all the things that we think we have been in control of. Because just like Job, God could take it all away in a day. Now, read the first chapter of Job. Talk about a difficult thing. In those days, they didn't have cell phones. And so a messenger comes. And the first messenger comes and he says, there was a great storm and all your kids were in one house and they were all killed. And as soon as he gets done giving that message, another one says, and marauders have come and they've stolen all of your livestock. And then another messenger comes and just gives one disaster after another. And finally, he's on in sackcloth and ashes. He's scraping the sores and his wife says, let's just curse God and die. And he says, should we only experience good things from God and not evil? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We hear that, we read it, and we forget the context. It did not come when he had just won the lottery. It did not come when God had just given him a great victory. It came when everything had been taken away. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go to the heights. My friend Habakkuk started in an attitude of gloom, and he's filled with praise. He knows that the outcome is going to be a difficult time for God's people. He says, I'm going to wait until that calamity comes. And God is once again vindicated. But in spite of that, whatever happens, I have humbled myself before God. I've leveled with Him in prayer. I've told Him my desires. I've told Him my needs. I've seen evidence of His faithfulness as I read the book. One person says, I just read the end of the book, and we win. And we do. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. And so as this church goes through a difficult time, as you face uncertain days, know that God has said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He is calling people to serve Him. He has a person who wants to come to this community to lead this church into some of the greatest days that you will ever see, because God is the sovereign Lord and He's still on the throne. Let us pray. Father, thank you.